coming to you live from inside the globe, perched high atop the Bugle Planet building in sunny Gotham City. It's Hey Kids Comics with two guys who are always ready to seduce the innocent, your hosts, Andrew Farmer and the Jedi Cole Houston. And now it's time for Hey Kids Comics.
Oh, God. It's going to be one of those shows, huh? Oh, my God. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Hey Kids Comics. Your host, Andrew Farmer, and the Jedi Cole Houston. Jedi, are you over there?
I am over there.
You are bouncing around the vast cosmos tonight. Odd thing happened to me today. I was approached by a giant purple man. He said, I'll be eating your planet tomorrow. Do you want to come with me? I'll spare your life if you... go find me other planets to eat. And
that's just a Nigerian prince.
Oh, is that what that was? I got an
email from a lot of people get that these days. They think, oh, I'm gonna be a Herald of Galactus. And
oh, it's the old Herald of of Galactus scam. Yeah, why wasn't there ever a Herald of Galactus and Maud parody in one of these what ifs or what thes? I blame you, Himbeck. Make it happen.
That's right.
Oh, so I guess we should talk about what we're talking about tonight because it's important.
Now I feel like I need to go find a picture of Galactus by Fred Hembeck.
I can find one real quick, like a bunny.
That's not good. To, yeah.
Yeah, and I think it's on the spine of the giant Dave Hembeck amphibian. I've been feeling like I taste pennies all day long today, and I don't know what's going on. This is going to be an interesting show. I'm not even on cold medicine. But tonight we talk about those press-ganged, unsung heroes. I don't want to call them heroes, because they're not heroes. They're just kind of doing the job. It's just my job, man. You know?
Yeah, you know, it's really easy to say I was just doing my job.
Oh, here we go. But
to quote Clerks, you know who else was just doing their job? They were called Nazis.
They were called Nazis.
So these are like the cosmic Nazis.
I don't think they were. Maybe does that make the Silver Surfer Schindler?
Yeah, you know, some of them are more Nazi-y than others.
Some of them really enjoyed their jobs.
Yeah.
Let's put it that way.
Some of them really got into it. It's like, yeah, I'm an arson, and I want you to go and, you know, like, tell people I'm going to burn their house down. Some of them are like, oh, yeah, I can do that. And then they break in and start smashing stuff because they figure... what the hell?
And that, okay, so tonight we're
going to get burned to the ground anyway.
So tonight we're talking about Galactus and his heralds, much like Gladys Knight and her pips. I'm pretty excited about this. The more I thought about it, the more I read about Galactus and his heralds, the funnier the concept got to me. Just the funnier it became, the more I read up on it and the more I thought about, oh man, yeah, this topic is... interesting. So Cole, why did you want to talk about this? What brought this to your mind?
Well, partly it's just a rich history of this is a, you know, Galactus is one of those characters that just keeps coming back, keeps occurring, keeps appearing. Literally everybody eventually gets a chance to work with or against Galactus. So, I mean, he's been everywhere. I was poking around looking for imagery and found a scene from a comic where he's hanging out having a discussion with the Sphinx?
Yeah. Yeah.
I believe that's who that was. But, you know, and they're both there in their giganticness and their battle shorts. And
you got to have battle shorts.
Yeah. So, you know, they've kind of, it was the Sphinx. And then, of course, Galactus is complaining. I love this. Once more, you speak in riddles, Sphinx. What do you expect? I mean, if you take a moment to learn about the history of the planets you're about to destroy.
Oh, once more, you speak in recipes, giant cosmic Betty Crocker.
That's right. Once more, you tell me to, you can tell if the core is still molten by putting a giant tuning fork into it.
I think Galactus would have been much better if it was a giant Julia Child floating around the cosmos.
Well, that's really what he's looking for, is it's just somebody to, you know, to kind of team up with and maybe delve into some new cuisine.
I thought you were talking about he's just really looking for some giant, like, molten lava cake from Chili's.
Well, that's basically what these planets are.
That's essentially what, yes.
Yeah, you slice into them, they got that gooey center. It's like a Teutonic plate covered hunk of tidal wave bubble gum.
So let's
only
start,
hotter.
Let's start this, because we're talking about Galactus and his heralds. Let's start from the top. Let's start with the big man himself. The man that if you end up on his Tinder profile, it just says, "I hunger." Galactus. Yeah. Yeah. Don't swipe right on Galactus.
Well, you also, with Galactus, you know, it's like every aspect, eyes, I hunger. Hair, I hunger. Height, I hunger. So, okay, I guess we're going to go out to dinner.
So for those of you that aren't familiar with Galactus, look out your window. He is
a
giant purple man with glowing eyes that wanders.
He's the sole member of the Purple Man group.
He is the only, literally, the only member of the Purple Man group.
A very singular kind of purple man.
He was the last of his race. In his universe, there was a big bang that destroyed the universe, sucked him into a new universe, kind of shat him out into our, I guess.
Very awkwardly, yes.
Yeah. I'm gonna put it in big quotes, our universe. And he was,
that's right.
According to some mythology, he was the first living entity in our universe. And he's been around since then.
And I guess, you know, to put it in perspective, Galactus roams the universe, roams the cosmos with this insatiable hunger to devour entire planets for his sustenance. And you have to think, though, as long as it took for life to develop, that's like, you know, oh, that's okay. I'm going to go ahead and skip breakfast. And then, you know, you wind up having to skip lunch, too. And
yeah.
Then you say, well, you know, I'm just too tired to bother. And ultimately, you just, you know, wake up the next morning and you got like the case of the mega munchies going on.
Right. Right.
And I think that, you know, that's really, if you think about it, he's coming off a mean hunger.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean,
that is apox in
right.
duration.
Carl Sagan couldn't put a timeline on how hungry Galactus was.
Well, imagine if your normal diet was billions and billions of pieces. And you skipped lunch.
And you skipped lunch. So, like all, you know, like all tyrants, Galactus needed some form of army, I guess. Army's not the right word.
No, he essentially just, I think, you know, just kind of showing up out of the blue, perhaps someone somewhere pointed out, it's kind of rude.
Oh, you mean it's, just showing up at a planet and eating it?
Yeah, it'll be like going over to your buddy's house with a fourth meal bag and that, you know, and just sitting there and eating while you invited yourself over.
So here comes the part that I love, right? You got Galactus. Galactus has wandered the cosmos like Cade in Kung Fu, except instead of playing a flute and solving problems, he's literally destroying entire solar systems with his giant mouth and Jack Kirby-like boots.
Those are some, like, the boots that Kiss ran out of money. I had to leave behind, you know.
I was going to say Ziggy plays guitars. That's all I'm going to say. But he...
Where are the spiders?
That we're going to talk about the spiders.
All right. But yeah, you kind of want somebody like, okay, as some would call it in the olden times, you might have a calling card.
Yeah. I can one up your metaphor, right?
You can one up my metaphor anytime.
I will one up your metaphor.
You will so one up my metaphor.
Let's say you're really into Greek food, and you keep going to these Greek restaurants, and they're just not that great. And then you discover Yelp. He needed his own Yelp service.
Oh, so the Heralds of Galactus are little more than an app.
Yeah, that's essentially what they are. You know, he sends these guys out. These guys wander the cosmos for him, which is just lazy.
Yeah, but it's sort of like, I don't know, using Cosmic Spoon.
Cosmic Spoon to figure out what the best planets to eat are. He's the Guy Fieri. The Guy Fieri.
That explains why so often you see him with his arms really stretched out when he's starting to eat a planet.
Yeah.
And you know, he's kind of backing away so he doesn't get anything on his tunic.
Now I want to see Galactus' Guy Fieri in a knockoff of Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives. Could be the funniest, like, with the visor and the white bleached hair sticking out the top. Yo, today we're in Zilla.
Where they're going to knock out some awesome food that is off the chain.
Wait till you try their kicking Savage Land sauce. Yeah.
So this is made homemade right here on the planet. Oh, it is the planet, Guy. So yeah, that's great, you know. I like it homemade.
This tastes homemade.
You know how Galac Fieri.
Galac Fieri. Perfect. But so he started. And here's where it gets really funny for me, right? And we were talking about this off mic. I've been thinking about it a lot over the last couple of days. Is at some point, this just... Because what these people are, for whatever reason, are the employees of Galactus.
That is true.
Of Galactus Enterprises. At some point, this just becomes a workplace comedy, like The Office. You've got a cast of characters. You've got your lovable screw up. You know, we'll talk about him later. You've got your power hungry office jockey. You've got your like rules monger. You know, your HR in there. You've got like
you got
you
your
said,
pedant. You know,
yeah, like you said, you've got your ones that just go to these planets and they're like, well, I'm here. I might as well destroy everything I see before he gets here. Instead of like, hey, like you said, like there's two options, right? One of them is come to the planet and be like, hey, listen, if you have a, well, how did you phrase it? If you have a summer home on another.
Yeah, you just, you know, they sort of show up. So those of you with spacecraft and summer homes on different, less tasty planets, today's the day. Better fire that up. The rest of you, you're pretty much screwed.
Yeah, but yeah, so they...
How are you feeling about digestive enzymes?
So he sends out these guys, and we're going to run through them because they're super interesting to talk about. He sends out this group of people to all these planets to discover which ones are the most edible. This group of people has to then, I guess, do they get points for style? I don't know how this works. They go down.
They might, because if you look at the history of the Heralds of Galactus, as style goes, there's some of them are pretty stylish, but you have to give it up for the Silver Surfer because he's the first one we all knew. Yeah, there's that. But I mean, look at the guy. He's just, I mean, it's like Galactus is like, hey, here's an idea. Bing! Completely chromed with some kind of, you can like stand on this thing and you can like turn flips and stuff. What do you think? And he's like, yeah, that's pretty cool. And then it's after that, it's like, I've got to come up with another one.
Well,
kind of, you know, my sophomore effort wasn't nearly as good as my freshman effort.
Once you say, yeah, my sophomore album wasn't. They say you spend your life writing your first novel. But here's the thing, right? Once you set the precedent that you give your first Herald a piece of the power cosmic, you gotta give it to all of them.
Yeah, and that's the thing.
You can't just give it to Norrin and then expect every other Herald that you have to not be like, wait, why'd he get the quarter office? What's he done?
But the curious thing about the whole Herald of Galactus thing is, you know, breaking off a piece of that sweet, sweet power cosmic.
Yeah.
Because inevitably, 9 out of 10 Heralds of Galactus become overwhelmed with hubris.
That's part of the power cosmic. I don't know if you knew that or not.
But, you know, they eventually have to. It's like they're waiting. It's like, okay, what is it going to be? Come on, any moment out. There we go. Here comes the attack. Do you think I would give you a power that could destroy myself? You know, it's like, it's muscle memory at this point for him to say that.
Well, but that's what the first one, and the problem is, this is what the first one did, right? The first Herald of Galactus was the Fallen One. So he takes this guy, he has this guy called the Fallen One, he gives him some of the power cosmic, but the guy was a loose cannon. The guy was Riggs from Lethal Weapon. And he kept getting called into the commissioner's office, and he's like, "You and I'll need your
mechanical,
right? Fallen One." And then the glass breaks, and some sweet, sweet saxophone music plays, and but he's like, "Whoa, whoa, whoa! You're too much. I'm gonna lock you up. I can't deal with you. You are a war crime." But he kept breaking out and going
after. It's like, I'm gonna eat these planets. But do you have to be dickish about it?
Right, like how bad do you have to be to set for Galactus, the dude who commits mass genocide for lunch, literally?
Yeah.
Goes, whoa, dude, you need time out. You gotta go sit in the corner and think about what you did.
And then he's like, nobody puts the Fallen One in the corner.
Yep. He breaks out and keeps going after Galactus.
Yeah, it's like an annoying bug or like some kind of really grudging, like a chihuahua or something that just is so, thinks it's a Rottweiler.
Well, it's like that guy, it's like that drunk guy outside of every bar that's in a fight where he gets broken up and he's walking away and he's got like one shoe on and his shirt's ripped off. He's like, no, I got it. I'm good.
Then the footage on Cops, he turns right around. He got to try one more swing. Everybody's like, No. Come on,
Bobby. It's happened repeatedly, so finally he gets fed up and says, I need another one, and that's when he goes to, that's when Galactus shows up on Zinla and goes, you know what? Okay, here's the deal.
That is a tasty planet.
I want to eat your planet, but I also need a new Herald. So if Norrin Rad, who that is, by the way, the best stripper name or name for a Christian Slater character in an 80s movie I've ever heard. Why they didn't let Christian Slater play Norrin Rad?
I'm from Zinla.
That's a really bad Christian Slater impression.
That's a very bad Christian Slater.
All of your impressions are just literally a coin flip away from Sling Blade.
They're either Carl Childers or there's somebody we haven't heard from here on the show.
Oh no, here he comes, ladies and gentlemen.
Pastor,
welcome back to the
Pastor
show.
Pastor Rainfest considered turning his back on religion when he saw Galactus. Said, "How could a just God create a beast like that?" And that's the news from what used to be Lake Wobegon. I'm the new Herald of Galactus, the story spinner.
Very good.
The story spinner rides around this giant fidget spinner, you know, to kind of get young readers into the...
Is that what he's doing to attract a younger audience? Nice.
Yeah.
So he shows up at this planet. It's like, I'll let your planet survive if you become my new Herald. And he's like, well, I mean, I don't have much of a choice. You know, everybody I care about and love is on this planet, so I guess I'll do it. But the problem with doing that is you don't have any buy-in. We're not talking about a Terax. We're not talking about a, what's the energy fish person? I can't remember that. Stardust. I think it was Stardust.
Oh, okay. Yes.
You know, those guys just, they were in it for, they loved the job. They were the first in, last out, you know, above and beyond.
It was a kick-ass gig if you get your hands on it.
And they loved it. Well, Norrin wasn't totally bought in. So he let some things slide there a few times. Like Earth, about 50 times.
Yeah, and ultimately Earth becomes like the, I don't know, it's like the prime rib that you just, I don't know why, you know, he just keeps coming back. He can't have it.
Well, I think you hit the nail on the head when we were talking earlier in the week when you said Earth is the Fugu of planets.
Yeah, that's so true. You know, you know you shouldn't, but you do anyway.
But there's only three, you know, you can only have it cut two or three ways to make it not poisonous.
Yeah.
Every time you get near it, everybody and their brother's like, don't you do it. Don't. This is a bad idea. Guy Fieri, get away from this planet. But he still tries every time, and he gets a spine in the face every single time. And Norrin's like, I'm telling you.
And it seems like Earth is the only planet that's just chock full of protectors.
Yeah.
It's rare that you see another planet or hear the tale of another planet holding sway against Galactus. They all just pretty much fall to, you know, he's got a case of the hungries only planets can satisfy.
We should include Galactus in our next food-based episode.
Oh, that's so true. We didn't talk about the delicious taste treat of planets, you know, atmospheres and liquid hot magma.
Didn't we talk about Galactus and Ego having sex at some point?
Yikes.
I believe, if I remember right.
We may well have. It would not surprise me much.
Didn't we talk about Galactus and Ego in the act of fellatio at some point in this show? I almost guarantee we did.
Well, I can say that, you know, undoubtedly, and I believe you're right, Ego gives good face.
I think Eddie was on that episode, by the way.
Oh, that's probably why we went there.
Yeah, Eddie's a horrible influence on this show. But yeah, so at some point, he gives up on the surfer because of the surfer's shenanigans. And keep in mind that the catalyst for the surfer's shenanigans was none other than Alicia Masters, who just keeps coming up on this show as like this weird Helen of Troy for the Marvel Universe.
She gets a lot of play, but you know who else does? Is Sue Storm.
Oh, God, yes. Are you kidding?
And one of these days we'll have to just talk about the mega MILF that is Sue Storm.
The mega MILF.
She is like the alpha MILF, you know, of the Marvel Universe.
She's the Cosmilf.
Cosmilf. Wow.
But yeah,
tonight on Cosmilf.
So he goes out looking for more sentient beings. And I love the fact that this just ends up being like a press gang situation just over and over again. Just like, hey, Airwalker, join up with me or bad stuff. It's a nice planet you got there. It'd be a shame if something happened to it, you know. So maybe you should just take some of this power cosmic that you can just turn around and use against me. And go find me some planets to eat. How about that?
Well, it's almost like, you know, there's this underlying psychosis there where, you know, he only wants to date those who will betray him.
It is a Godfather scenario.
Yeah, it's just like, you know, Airwalker, you're my brother. Sure. Want to go fishing?
Want to go fishing?
And in which case, it was fission.
Yeah, you want to go fission.
Not fission, it was fission. He actually destroyed him on an atomic level.
Just broke him
and
down.
I'm sure there are people who are more familiar, like, no, that's not how. That's not what happened.
So, my favorite thing about the Airwalker, right? He makes the Airwalker a Herald of Galactus. The Airwalker then throws himself between Galactus and an incoming fleet and army and gets destroyed. Okay?
So he did go fishing.
He did go fission. He absolutely went fission. Galactus then transferred Airwalker's consciousness into an Airwalker robot body. So the guy's still basically alive. They visioned him. He then...
the Airwalker. Awesome. Airwalker Zola'd him.
Yeah, this is awesome. Then Galactus is like, hey, Airwalker, I know you just got between me and an army of... super intense warship, sacrificed yourself in battle for me. I then took your consciousness and shoved it inside of this robot body. Could you do me a favor, though? I need you to head to Earth and convince the Silver Surfer to come back and be my herald, because you ain't cutting it.
Yeah, I keep robot bodies around against just such a contingency.
I keep robot bodies just laying around.
Yeah, pretty much for all of everybody. It's kind of like Foghorn Leghorn numbering his feathers. Because you just never know when you're going to need that.
Right.
But it's not a quick fix. It's not a permanent solution. And it's not like, I mean, really, frankly, you're dead. Let's get right down to it. You're actually pretty much really dead. This is just a facsimile of aliveness. Yeah, so then to make things even more, I don't know, it's maybe satisfying... Injury. Yeah, then Silver Surfer's like, yeah, no, because, you know, if turns out, I didn't know this going in, if you die in the service of Galactus, you get to be the robot herald of, hey, can you go see if, like, you know, like the booty call maker.
You're the Uber at that point.
Yeah, it's like, no, thank you. Maybe somebody else. And I have to point out that Airwalker was Xandarian.
Yes.
So, you know, he's got some... He comes from a planet with street cred or cosmic cred.
They got chops over there. Yeah. For sure. So what were you saying? You were saying to add insult to injury.
Well, they pretty much, you know, I don't know. It may have been, like, soften the blow for the robot Airwalker that the booty call was refused.
Well,
you
sure.
know, it's like, yeah, you know, if you happen to see the Silver Surfer, could you ask him? Give me a call. You know, I'm not, you know, I'd call him myself, but, you know, I'm going to be busy that night. Like, what night?
All nights.
I live in space. I'm having a hard time working out day and night anyway. So just, you know, throw me a bone. Could you just go and ask the guy if he'd come back? Here's a mixtape. Baby, come back!
Here's a mixtape.
You can blame it all on me.
Well, I was going to say to add insult to injury.
Oh, baby back. Wrong song. That's not a romantic I Want You Back song.
To add insult to injury, the next thing that Galactus does is round up Airwalker's brother and make him a Galactus, a Herald of Galactus. Hey. I got a few things I need to tell you. Can you sit down for a second? Yeah, okay. Your brother? Yeah, Airwalker. That guy. He threw himself in between a fleet of warships and me and sacrificed himself so that I could live. I then took him and shoved him inside of a robot body, sent him back to try to get Norrin. Yeah, you remember Norrin. Yeah, I know. He hasn't brought me a planet in like 7 years.
Yeah.
But you know, they just got that soft spot for that guy. He's funny. He's good at a party. You know, he makes everybody laugh around the
camp. I love this guy.
I can't quit him.
I can't quit planets either, so you can see my dilemma.
But the part I didn't cover here is that that robot body, Norrin destroyed that. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to make you forget that I just told you that, and now you're my herald now.
Yeah,
no, I'm not going to
remember any of this anyway, but you could have saved yourself a lot of tongue wagging by just making me a herald.
just.
I mean, I'm just saying, in the future, if you do this sort of thing, why tell someone things you're going to make them forget? You know, we could have started this whole, I could have been out looking for planets 20 minutes ago, but you're jaw-jacking about stuff that in, like, the next couple of minutes, I'm not even going to remember. I'm just, the crux of this is, I hope you remember what I just told you that I'll forget that I just told you.
But in one of the greatest sleight of hand routines ever. We're talking about Fire Lord here, which is one of my favorite heralds, because the first thing Fire Lord does as a Herald of Galactus is, I can't, so this reminds me of, let's say you're making dinner, and you have a recipe, and you're 99% positive you have all of the component parts to make your recipe, except you keep forgetting one thing. So you send somebody back to the store to get that one thing, and they come back with something different, and then you have to send them back again, because the first thing that Fire Lord does, head to Earth, goes straight to Earth, the same place where his brother died, again, the same place where Silver Surfer's just holed up, probably at this point, mucking about with the Defenders at this point, and he starts fighting with Spider-Man. I have the two-issue Spider-Man fights a Herald of Galactus and A, survives. Let's start there. And B, wins the fight with the Herald of Galactus. Because what's he do? Gets his little baton away from him.
Speaking of the baton.
Yeah.
I have to point out, there's two things that make Fire Lord one of the cooler Heralds of Galactus. One is, of course, his original name.
Which is?
Pyreus Krill.
Pyreus Krill.
You know, what are the chances someone whose name is Pyreus becomes Fire Lord? You want J. Jonah James? What are the chances someone named Pyreus becomes a flaming... Anyway, and the other is the Cosmic Q-Tip.
Yes.
Which is one of the finest accessories in the history of comics. Why do we not have a Marvel Legends Fire Lord?
Why don't we have Marvel Legends for all of the heralds? Because there,
damn it, you're right.
There are some rad. Like, if you look at a picture of Airwalker, he's pretty rad. Like it's a he's a rad looking dude. Like, I like it.
He's got that Kirby sensibility, and he's got that weird sort of bat nimbus.
I had to have mine looked at, but yeah.
Yeah. Well, you should at your age.
I know, I'm getting there, right? I got to get a finger in the butt, and I got to get my back nimbus looked at.
That's right.
That's what happens when you turn 40.
You don't have to tell me.
gross. But yeah.
So then what happens? But you get an Asgardian shoving his nose in Galactus' business, and he makes this like bum deal.
And that's my favorite sleight of hand deal ever. Hey, buddy. Go ahead, talk about the deal. I want to hear about the deal.
It's like, you know, hey, why don't you cut Fire Lord here some slack? Because it's obvious he doesn't like the job. But I got a temp lined up for you. And then he gives him, like, Dad's old toy, the Destroyer.
That's right.
It's like, you know, there's something... I'm not sure what's going on with this thing. It's just been around the house. I'm getting tired of it. It kind of creeps me out. It's one of those things where, you know, you go in the kitchen, you make a sandwich, and you walk by, and you see it in the hall, and you kind of get this really, like, what the hell? It's a damn Destroyer. I know it's there, but it still surprises me. You think there's an intruder. What the hell?
It's like having one from the Cold Night Stalker episode.
It's like having one of those, cardboard stand-ups of your favorite movie character. Trust me. Yeah, that lasts about 6 weeks.
It really does.
And then you fold that son of a bitch up, and it sits in a closet until it gets eaten by silverfish. So this was essentially the six-week part. You know, Dad left the Destroyer with Thor at his apartment. 6 weeks later, he's trying to find that sucker a new home.
Well, the thing that the part about it that's a great sleight of hand, right? Is you can make the Destroyer armor work by remote control, basically, right? It's magic. once you're not controlling it, it is a friggin' suit of armor. That's all it is. So you traded Galactus a suit of magical armor for a Fire Lord and got away with it. And what's he going to do? I'm going to eat your planet. Yeah, bring it, big boy. You've been trying for 50-odd years.
You want a taste of this hammer? Huh?
You want to eat some sweet hammer?
Yeah. You want to find out how it is to eat planets with no teeth? You got a big straw in there somewhere?
Oh, now, though, we're on to a...
Oh, here we go. Yeah. Not to be outdone. You know, once you poke that armor enough to realize it ain't going anywhere on its own.
Well, so Galactus decides at this point. So he's had, you know, a bought-in sacrificial lamb. He's had a guy that got out as soon as humanly possible. He's had Norrin Rad, who's literally basically screwed him over on a Music Man deal on about 70 planets at this point. Never brought him a planet to eat. But keeps telling him, you know, I got some magic beans that if you plant them in the cosmos, it's going to grow you 17 planets if you let this one go.
Like, give me.
Yeah, either the dumbest or the smartest herald out there. And he's got another herald that keeps bringing out of prison and kicking his ass. So.
There was that one where he's like, hey, Galactus, here's a giant fence of doom you could paint.
So he decided he needed a change. He needed a change in his hiring strategy.
That's right. He thought it was time for a cool change.
Yeah. And so he...
Now that his life was so rearranged. It was time for a cool change.
So what happens now, he goes after the asshole.
Yeah.
He goes after the galactic wolf of Wall Street.
Well, and instead of going to somebody whose planet they are willing to sacrifice everything about themselves for.
Right.
To preserve your planet, you won't die. But if you do, I've got a robot job for you. But chances are, if you look statistically, you're not going to die. And chances are, inside of about the first quarter, you're on your own anyway.
That's right.
That's just the way this works. I'm powerless to stop it.
Don't
ask me. I got enough aggravation. But I'll spare your planet. To find somebody who's like, you know, you're doing pretty good for yourself on your planet. But I bet you I could one-up every bit of despotism you have ever employed. You come work for me, and the cosmos is your oyster. And of course, that raised the question, you know, what's an oyster? Tyros, he never heard of an oyster. They don't have them on Burge. But, you know, after some explaining, that it's like, whatever, do you have any animals that make things that are expensive? with their spit?
And he went, no, that's ludicrous. Nobody would have that.
Who would want something made of animal spit? I mean, and you may as well just go get like a big pile of bird vomit and throw it in your chicken soup.
And then Galactus looks off into the distance and goes, Earth does. Sad music plays.
Oh, man. Come to think of it, I don't want to eat Earth. Look, that's a nasty going on down
like
there.
They have the best stuff on Earth. Why can't I? The best stuff on Earth is on Earth.
How about, like, if you fed coffee beans to a weasel and it shat them out?
And you sifted through it?
No? Okay.
No, you don't want to sift through weasel scat for your coffee?
I'm serious. These are some really... These things are worth their weight in gold. Anyway. But back to Tyros. Tyros, rather. Ironically, Tyros is described in one article I saw, the tyrannical dictator of the city Lanlak.
Lanlak
on Burge. Lanlak on Burge. That was actually an Ultron cafe.
Yeah, it was. Well, they sampled it.
Yeah.
They sampled.
It was a tribute. That's what they said.
They called it a tribute, but we all know.
That's what they said at the court in Helsinki, and people fell for it.
Keep going, please.
Well, the thing about it is that, you know, Galactus, like you say, he goes for the guy who doesn't really give a flying handshake about his country, his planet. And when he's offered the power cosmic and he can, like, move Earth with his mind and, you know, he can, like, control planets and get a kick-ass, like, the biggest, baddest axe.
Just a big bad. It's a big bad axe.
And to my knowledge, he's one of only two Marvel characters to sport a stainless steel beard. Colossus.
Yeah, I think you're right. Which is odd because he's made out of rocks. He's like a rocky exterior man. He's like a rocky man.
Yeah.
Rocky man.
Rocky man!
Damn it! Why? Why are we
this
all
is
over
musical
Elton
night.
John's dick?
Tonight's issue is brought to you by KTEL.
Right?
All your favorite hits are here.
In gold. Hey, Cole. Remember that time the Terrax invaded the Earth and Silver Surfer and the Fantastic Four had to fight him to a standstill? That reminds me of a song.
That's right. Rising all the way up to number one before the Earth gets eaten.
For one day, which is all the Earth has left.
That's right.
No, Terrax.
Welcome
is awesome.
To the very last countdown.
Terrax is amazing, and my favorite thing about Terrax, first of all, is just he's an asshole.
Yeah.
And my second favorite thing about Terrax is that his nom de guerre, or his second name, because you're issued a second name. His second name is Terrax the Tamer.
The Tamer, yes indeed. Yeah, he basically, he poured himself into his work. He loved his job. And he was a bit of a workaholic. I mean, from what I've seen of him in the comics, Creation, if I am not mistaken, won John Byrne.
Of course, and Wolfman.
Oh, that's right, and Wolfman. During Byrne's tenure on the Fantastic Four. Just one of the most dynamic, and you know, he comes in guns a-blazing, he's armed for bear, he's ready to fight, he's spoiling for a fight, and the first thing he does is cut a perfectly good taxicab in half.
Why would you do that?
Solely because the thing is riding in the back, probably ruining the suspension.
But
at least this way the cabbie can you know, make a claim with his insurance. The thing arriving in your cab and ruining your suspension, there's no coverage.
That's true. You can claim that.
Cut in half cab, that's claimable.
I mean, but he got into some...
And then you get J.K. Simmons talking about it on a commercial, and we paid him.
Why aren't there J.K. Simmons Marvel commercials?
I know.
For
insurance?
Damn. Insurance?
Like, yeah, we're like, it's the case of the... With the split fare.
That's good. That's really good. That's really, really good. The case of the split fare. We are farmers. Dum, dum, dum. Oh, that's a good idea. Somebody steal that. That was a good idea.
Please. Somebody make that. One of those people who does like those, you know, Deadpool versus Batman and shit like that. Get you some J.K. Simmons lookalike. See, follow me here. See if you can drum somebody up.
Damn it. Damn it. No, but so Terrax.
That's
was
not my jump.
And then he fought everybody. Everybody just fought Terrax the Tamer, and I will say this though, Terrax does have his own Marvel Legends figure.
That he does in pieces.
In pieces, yeah. It was a Build-A-Figure, but he has one. So that's rad. Good for
Norrin Red. A quick departure on the Build-A-Figure, though. I want to point out, if you ever get a chance, look up Mystery Science Theater 3000 Johnny Long Torso. They predicted the Build-A-Figure.
Did they?
Johnny Long Torso, the doll that comes in pieces. He's that.
I still say Stiltman is the best idea we've ever had.
Oh, Stiltman is a beaut. Why? We're going to have a new feature sometime called Hey Hasbro.
Yeah, we will. We often do.
Yeah, that's true. I want to know where my Build-A-Figure Zabu is.
So Terax got beat up a bunch. Finally, Galactus got fed up with Terax. Galactus has a really short attention span for for these guys. They don't last very long under the tenure of Galactus. Now,
yeah, the novelty wears off, because I think what it comes down to is, yeah, sure, the Fallen one was first.
Yeah.
But Norrin Rad was his first love.
Oh, I think so. Yeah,
and he's still pining. He's just like hoping, like, come on, Fantastic Four, would you kill Terax? I got a perfectly good robot body waiting, and I feel certain that this is going to be the one.
Like, I can finally do it.
Yeah, that brings him back to me.
I can just keep sending these robot heralds.
You know, I've got this one programmed. I've got a whole new mixtape, you know. Don't give up on us, baby. We're still worth one more try.
So can we talk about Nova for a while?
Come on. Can you get more soulful than that? Yeah, let's talk about Nova. God.
Because Nova's great. Nova's great. Nova was the paramour of the Human Torch for a while.
Nova... she was. There was a great, one of the things Byrne loves to do is like kind of hint at stuff or give you a silhouette that you recognize. Like, oh, gee, I don't know. Could the Psycho Man shaped silhouette be Psycho Man? No. But there was a... I can't remember if it was like the last panel in an issue, you had to wait a month, or it was just like, you know, you had to turn a couple of pages past ads, but where Frankie Ray is like throwing off her trench coat in a sexy way, and he's all freaked out, and then it turns out it's just wearing a goddamn tunic like a superhero.
Right. It was from behind, like.
Yeah, wow, you're like, yeah. Oh, yeah. Little Frankie, little Ray, yeah. Oh.
So real quick, like her and she and Galactus kind of form a pretty strong bond. She's into her, some of her job, you know. She does a better job than most. She finds planets that are better suited to be wrecked than other planets. She's not Terax, first of all.
Yeah, she's right? The bar's literally low. she becomes the opposite in many ways. She's the opposite, And in many ways, she becomes kind of the conscience of Galactus.
Right. And
because this is the point where they convince Galactus, you know, have you ever tried an uninhabited world?
Well, it's that weird vampire thing, right? Yeah. Where you're like, have you ever just tried to suck the blood out of a rat? What's that do for you? You know, can you get by? Like, can you get by? All we need you to do is get by.
And then most of the time, it's like, you know, I never thought of that. In a rat or a cow or something seems much more natural than another person. So, and then it kind of like, okay, we'll give it a try. We'll mix it up a bit. Plus, Frankie Ray had been on Chopped, and so she knew some tricks. She incorporated not only molecular gastronomy, but sub-molecular gastronomy in some of her cuisine.
My favorite thing about her and why I love her so much, and I think there are other heralds. There's Morg and Redshift, but
Rosemary loves planets.
But I feel like we should.
I love that Rosemary dusting there. That's what really sells this planet.
I feel that after Nova, our time is better served to move into to move into some of the also-rans. But my favorite thing about Nova is, you know, Galactus finally gets fed up with these uninhabited planets, and he's like, hey, Nova, hey, you got some of them sweet people planets? And all she does is ignore him until he gives up, and he's like, all right, I'll find another herald. You're not doing it for me.
Yeah.
Like there's no accountability with these
like,
heralds.
Hey, Nova, go over that way and look for me some of those, Quaker rice cake planets. And meanwhile, I'm going to go find Steak Boy.
Right. It's just like, no. She's like, go find me some planets. No. And Galactus is like, God damn it. Really? I don't understand why you people think that you can just say no to me. It's like, no, I'm not going to do it. Damn it. No, but I want to talk about some of the also-rans, because we're running pretty low on time, to be honest. I didn't realize we were as late in the game as we were.
Yeah, luckily we're running a little lower on these heralds as well.
But there's a few that I definitely want to touch on before we get off of the show tonight. One of them being, Cole, did you realize that at some point Dazzler was a Herald of Galactus?
I saw that on a list somewhere. She didn't like make the grade on the mainstream list, but
well, she was a temp.
Yeah, but the thing about it is, I like to think that if she was a Herald of Galactus, she was destroying disco planets that deserve to be destroyed.
It was like the Chicago, the day the disco died.
Or, you know, they're planets that are completely covered in, they're like mirror ball planets.
Well, I love the fact that in order to give her the power cosmic, Galactus kind of held her by the scruff of the neck in front of an exploding galaxy because of all the light and sound.
Oh!
And just ramped her up real good. And then sent her in to get Terax because he wanted Terax back. Son of a bitch.
It just always, yeah. You know,
always greener with this.
I may be with you, but my heart is with my ex. It's just, you know, give it up. When are we going to learn?
Also,
you know, and then you've got, you know, Airwalker there crying in his coffee about how he's doesn't get picked again.
And I think that the last one, I think the one we should probably end this on and then go to final thoughts. The most powerful of them all. The one that was so good that they couldn't let her continue, because I think she would have taken over for Galactus himself, and that is none other than Aunt May.
That is true. I mean, you've got your lineup of Morg and then Redshift.
Yeah, yeah.
And wasn't that a Michael Keaton movie with Henry Winkler?
Was it Michael Keaton?
Oh no, it was Michael Keaton and Arnold Schwarzenegger in Redshift. It's about a Russian police officer who was seconded to the Chicago morgue, where he helped one of the employees start a prostitution business. It's the damnedest movie.
I think you're almost thinking of something real. I think you're right on the cusp of thinking of something real. I think you're thinking of Night Shift? Wait, hold on.
Yeah, I think I read an article about this happening in USA Today.
God damn it. Dan Aykroyd, Tom Hanks, Night Shift meets, what was the Schwarzenegger movie where he was, where it's exactly what you just said?
You're thinking of John Belushi's little brother and Schwarzenegger in Red Heat.
I am thinking of Red Heat as
but
well.
But I'm
going
to I'm gonna have to go to the floor for you. It was Michael Keaton and Henry Winkler in Night Shift with Shelley Long.
Was it?
As a prostitute.
Then what am I thinking of with Tom Hanks and Dan Aykroyd?
I think there you're thinking of Dragnet.
No, I'm not. I know Dragnet. But anyway, we digress. Aunt May.
Welcome to We Can't Decide What the Hell Movie, but there was Invisible Boy.
Yeah.
Stardust, I believe.
Stardust was another asshole that just went in and killed a
bunch of players. Yeah, just went crazy. It's like, well, he's going to eat you up anyway. I may as well kill a bunch of you to save you the trouble of getting chewed up and stuff, because that's actually worse. But Aunt May, the most matronly of the bunch, becomes a Herald of Galactus in a classic What If.
Yes. Oh, absolutely. And the reason that it's...
Which bordered on a what the.
But the reason that it's so amazing is Galactus comes for a... He finally gets a good idea, right? He finally figures it out, gets a really good idea. And that good idea is this. Franklin Richards lives on Earth. If I can convince Franklin Richards to become a Herald of Galactus, I'm unstoppable, because this kid rivals my power. So if I can get him to become my herald, I'm good to go. I'll never have to worry about thinking about Norrin Rad ever again. So he comes to Earth, only to find that Aunt May is babysitting him. And she jumps in front of the power cosmic beam and becomes... Are you ready for this, Cole? Are you ready for this?
Shudder. It's been a while. I'd forgotten.
Do you know? Do you remember the name?
I have forgotten, and I have not looked it up.
Golden Oldie.
Oh, that's right.
Golden Oldie.
That sounds like somewhere dead center between... No, actually, it's leaning more toward the Burn side. But it's almost like early Kirby and pretty much all John Byrne. Because you have to bear in mind, John Byrne brought us Gilded Lily, Deadly Earnest, Good to Two Shoes.
And so she goes out in search of planets, while Franklin Richards keeps Galactus sated with Twinkies. I shit you not, with Twinkies.
That's a big Twinkie.
Well, and then Aunt May finds a planet-sized Twinkie. And
was this just like an extended Hostess Cupcake ad, like where?
Yeah, like the pies, where Hulk like fought Lex that Luther evil. And his pies.
Yeah, or like Hulk fought the evil botanist who had the sentient plants Artichoke and Philodendron.
Right, right. Got
and then
it,
he like hurled cupcakes or some crap at her, and then she's like, "Oh, this is much better than being evil."
By the way, Dr. Detroit is what I was. Not Tom Hanks.
I was going to say Tom Howard Hanks. Howard Hessman. Yes, Howard Hessman was in that.
Yeah, I had
Doctor,
it wrong.
Doctor Detroit.
I had it wrong. I will own that. So anyway, yes, the greatest of all heralds of Galactus, Aunt May. Spider-Man's aunt / power cosmic wielding herald of Galactus.
That has to be the best, single best use of the... Turned out that the big problem there was that Galactus was diabetic and had gluten allergies. So it was just, come on.
Just messed him up and down. And you don't want a Galactus with gluten problems.
No.
You don't. You don't want that. That's a bad scene.
Because, you know, in space, maybe nobody can hear you scream, but they can sure smell your mega farts.
Damn it. All right. So that is our episode on the Heralds of Galactus.
I do want to point out in one bit I was reading about one of the Heralds that Galactus briefly went back to using Android versions of Airwalker and Fire Lord. He had like one of everybody laying around.
That's horrible. This guy. I don't even want to talk about him anymore. He's such a dick. It's not even he eats planets. He's just a dick.
Well, I have to say this about Galactus from the standpoint of his heralds, is that Galactus has a very 1950s sci-fi sensibility about him.
Okay.
And I'm going to let that sink in. What is a 50s sci-fi sensibility for Galactus? And that is that you send one guy to one part of one planet to tell them en masse you're all going to die.
The day the Earth stood still.
Exactly! Like, what the hell? I'm surprised the Russians didn't just have a nuclear assault just because they felt slighted that they didn't get a Gort.
Get a Gort. Why didn't you get a Gort?
You get the Gorton's fisherman. I mean, nothing.
Trust him.
So, you know, from that standpoint, it's like somebody tell him that most planets aren't universally governed. And every time they show up in America.
Oh, man.
So Heralds of Galactus are worse than Gort.
Like, in New York, by the way.
Yeah.
Like, where every superhero is forever.
Like, you know, in some sort of weird cosmic way, it's just like, how do you want me to do this? Well, just keep flying and, you know, whatever part of the planet. As long as it's not like water, unless they're like water people, is lined up. Just, you know, just wait until you line up with something. And every time it just happens. It's like, thank goodness there isn't just like a constant asteroid storm that's single file or every, you know, 3 or 4 years, another asteroid happens to be on a collision course with New York or they'd never get anything done.
Oh, damn it. All right, let's plug this up and get out of here. I think we were good.
That's my take on Galactus right there.
It's pretty good. I didn't even get my pitch for the Galactus office comedy where the first episode is Galactus telling Norrin Radd he has to go into the marketing department and fire everybody, and he ends up buying them all lunch instead of firing them. Yeah, because he just can't do it. He just doesn't have the heart for it. And he finds it in the budget to keep them all.
Yeah, it turns out they all had the money all along.
Yeah, turns out that they just had to cut some things, and then they would have the money all along, and so they managed to keep everybody. It was great.
Well, then you get introduced to the new Herald Red Stapler.
Have you seen my stapler? Damn it. Damn it. All right. Plug us up, Cole.
We're going to get out of here. We're coming to you in Jedi Cole Universe, JediCole.com. You can write to us at jcumail@yahoo.com. You can check out our Hey Kids Comics show on various platforms.
You can
look for Hey Kids Comics show, and I'm personally barreling up and very hopeful that we will finally get to see our beloved Andrew joining us here in Texas for AllCon 2018, the 14th year of AllCon in Addison at the Intercontinental. New hotel, everybody. Be careful. Don't go to the old hotel. You'll be like, what? Intercontinental, the new permanent home of AllCon forever. And I will, of course, be there as group captain of Games in Theory, the game show track for AllCon. See, that would be the 13th year of game shows at AllCon. And easily about the 8th or 9th year of Games in Theory as an official track. And there's just so much to do. Over 400 things going on over the course of 4 days. Thursday is a freebie.
Still a freebie.
From the first year they introduced Thursday as even an extra day, always free. And there's stuff going on all day on Thursday. And that is March 15th through the 18th. Check it out at all-con.com or .net, I believe. I can't say enough good. You've got to come out and meet Wesley Urey and Kathy Coleman from The Land of the Lost. You see a bunch of these high-profile shows where they've got every celebrity under the sun. The most fun celebrities are the ones who don't get top billing at these giant conventions. They're the ones who have loved their fans. They love what they're doing. And having met them both at Infinicon last year, let me tell you, Wesley Urey is they're both just amazing, fun people. And it was more fun to watch Wesley Urey pretending like Felix Silla from the Addams Family and Buck Rogers and Spaceballs was beating the living crap out of him. They're fun, fun people. I got to work with him on Match Game, and Wesley had actually been on the real Match Game in his youth, so.
Well, it's great when you have the celebrities that slip their handlers or don't care.
Yeah, and they're there to have fun. Yeah, they're making some money. They're getting paid to be there. They're getting paid for their autographs. But they've got such wonderful stories to tell and are thrilled to tell you about, being in Tiger Beat magazine. I brought up Tiger Beat as a joke.
He's like, no. So, I was in that.
Yeah, I'm really thrilled to get to work with them both again. Christopher Mim is back, bringing his amazing modern 50s B movies. Derek Arnold, who was in Rogue One and a lot of other. There's just so many fun, cool people, and there's a lot of guests that haven't even been announced yet. There's 40 game shows this year, 40-some-odd games. 39 to 40 game shows. Plus, I have my two talk shows every year. Plus, Podcasting Day Camp.
Yeah.
Be sure and come out for Podcasting Day Camp. If you love giant marshmallows on skewers, first thing in the morning, get that big sugar buzz going, be sure and check out my Podcasting Day Camp, which I premiered at Infinicon. And it's a lot of fun. Meet some podcasters. Learn about just why do we do this?
Why do we spend the time and the effort just enjoying this weirdness that we do every week.
And, of course, be sure and check out the Annex over at DallasOnAir.com for my other live streaming podcast. In fact, this Sunday, you can check out Isle of Toys, Isle 7. I'm not certain yet. Ideally, it's either going to be about the original, the classic G.I. Joe, or Pop Vinyl, insanity that is Pop Vinyl.
You have to. I've begged you. I sent you so many text messages saying, I can't. I need to know what this is about, Cole. Because, and I beg you, I'm imploring you, as one of my best friends in the world, as a brother, I need... This is getting to that weird Howard Hughes tissue boxes Ice Station Zebra stage where I can't figure out what the allure. I get the allure, right?
Yeah.
It's not the allure. It's the insanity, the craze around these things is. Somebody needs to tell me. If only I knew somebody that toy shit.
Yeah, and it's almost like if you took the idea of the Beanie Babies and you injected every corner of pop culture into it.
Right.
And yes. That is definitely, if not in February, definitely in the middle part of the year, sometime during the summer, Pop Goes the Vinyl will be an aisle of Isle of Toys.
Yes. Yes. I need it.
And as will America's Fighting Man. It's the original G.I. Joe.
All right. Let's get out of here. Let's let some people go. We will be back next week with another issue of Hey Kids Comics. Buy, collect, enjoy your comics. If you're going to Herald for anything, Herald for Guy Fieri and his kick and wing sauce that he pours all over Tarnax 4 before he destroys the Skrull homeworlds.
Yeah, I put that shit on everything.
I carry it in a holster on my belt. I'm Galactus. Damn it. All right. Say goodnight, Cole.
I hunger.
For kicking wings off.